Hope and I trade this phrase, the person who's closest to the problem or closest to the challenge, they typically have the answer, right? So going back to the grassroots, to the community that's affected, and sort of lifting those voices is always an important, if not the most important part of this whole thing. Because if we wanted to build a network for Black and Brown entrepreneurs, but we didn't have any Black and Brown entrepreneurs talking about what they needed, what would be the point?
Hi, I'm Jacob Dolans.
And I'm Lauren Mathena, and this is the Rise Collaborative Podcast.
This is a podcast for dreamers, doers, and innovators in rural America. We believe entrepreneurship and innovation are key to leveraging our existing strengths to revitalize local economies and provide more opportunities for all people.
If you've ever wanted to go behind the scenes and learn how to spark innovation and build ecosystems, this is the podcast for you.
Through conversations with some incredible experts, we will guide you in leading the change you want to see in your regional economy.
As ecosystem builders in rural Southern Virginia, we're learning as we go, and we invite you to come along with us.
Welcome to the Entrepreneurship on the Rise podcast. We have two awesome guests today, so we're really excited to get started. Beth Ann, why don't you introduce yourself real quick first? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and your role, and then Hope, why don't you go after she goes?
Thank you for having us today. You heard my name is Beth Ann James. I am the founder and principal consultant at Gemstone Professional Services Consultants, and we go by Gemstone Consulting. I was born and educated in New Jersey, South Jersey. However, my mom is from Pennsylvania County, and so I spent all my holidays and summer breaks in Dry Fork, right outside of Danville. It used to be a little community called Vance until I was a graduate from high school. Thanks for having me.
And I'm Hope Harris-Gales. I'm really excited to be here today. As I've shared with y'all, I've always wanted to be on a podcast, so this is very exciting. So I wear a couple different hats in the ecosystem. I am full-time as Director of Communications at the Southern Virginia Higher Education Center, and we house the Longwood Small Business Development Center office within our campus. And I'm also an SBDC marketing consultant. That's a hat I enjoy wearing, getting to work directly with entrepreneurs. And I'm also engaged with the Grapevine Minority Engagement Work Group through the Rise Silver Rise Collaborative.
So why don't you tell us about your roles with the Longwood SBDC, and then Beth Ann, a little bit more about how you got involved, and then kind of intro us to the Grapevine Network.
I'm fortunate enough to be a part-time marketing consultant with the Longwood Small Business Development Center. And in that capacity, I offer a marketing workshop, but I'm also able to do some one-on-one consulting to help entrepreneurs identify opportunities and gaps within their current plan and to develop a cohesive plan to move forward. And so in that capacity, I've been involved with Rise Collaborative. I'm one of the facilitators for the Co-Starters Business Bootcamp, which is really exciting. I love the energy that that group has. And I'm always amazed at how in just a few short weeks, this group of strangers really comes together as a community. And so the task now that we've had several cohorts is to keep that community, build on it, and help it grow and expand.
Okay, so my part, how did I get involved with the Rise Collaborative? I'll tell the clean version of this story. I am a founding board member for the Dan River Region Black Chamber of Commerce, which is evolving in the Dan River region, which is Danville, Pennsylvania County, Caswell, east to Halifax. And at one time, there was some consideration of having it west to include Henry County, Martinsville, Henry County. But I got a last minute call to go to Startup Champions Network Summit in Durham. I live in Durham, and I got like a last minute call to, hey, do you want to come to this conference? And so I was like, yes, because I'm nosy. My kids tell me that I should say curious, but I'm nosy. I want to know everything, all the things. So I was like, absolutely. So I went and I met Lauren, and I was like, what is this thing? What is an ecosystem? Like, this is not biology. What are you talking about? And I think she tried many, many times to explain to me, and it just did not resonate. Like, I just couldn't get it. Like, what are you talking about, ecosystem? And everybody in the room was talking about ecosystem builder, and I didn't get it. And so I got involved from there, wanting to know about something that I didn't clearly understand, and that it was in some way connected to the growth and exposure of the Black Business Collaborative, Black Business, Black Chamber of Commerce. So I just started showing up at the RISE meetings and asking Lauren a million questions. And then I finally got it. And I have a particular interest in sort of pollinating the community. So like picking up tidbits of information and then dropping them around to where I think they're useful, or connecting people that I think should know each other. And so it was sort of a natural transition for me to get more deeply involved with Grapevine. And I'm happy that I did, in order to bring sort of my community and network to that work group and help it grow. So I now serve as a co-facilitator with Hope.
It's interesting you said that. I had the same experience when I first met Lauren, and she started talking about this ecosystem. And I'm like, what? What is this? And she would explain it. And I felt like I should have understood, but I still didn't. So it took a while for me too. But at some point, the light turned on, and it makes perfect sense now.
Right.
So I'm going to put both of you on the spot then. How would you explain what an ecosystem builder does, or what ecosystem building is? And you each have to answer.
So I would say that ecosystem building really is sort of building community collaborations, just networking some sector of the community. So in this particular process, we are networking entrepreneurs and small business owners. But I think that we have done this in other sectors, right? We connect people who are in healthcare, or, you know, lawyers, or any of those things. So, you know, it just takes me back to like eighth grade biology, like ecosystem, like what's growing. But it makes perfect sense in hindsight now that you look at it. But from the, you know, from the beginning, I was like, I don't get it, because I'm still like in eighth grade thinking about what that means to build an ecosystem.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, there's a graphic I think Lauren created that has the entrepreneur at the center, and then everything, all the services, resources, groups, organizations that support entrepreneurship around them. And that makes perfect sense. So the ecosystem is sort of like a natural ecosystem, you know, everything working together for this one purpose of supporting and uplifting entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
But now we're going to go next level, and it's not always that way, right? Because just like in biological ecosystems, there's tensions that are created when one business does well. That means that it might be harmful to the environment. So there's trade-offs within the ecosystem. And Jacob could really go a lot further with this analogy. This reminds me of the talk that we did for the Longwood faculty. But thank you so much to both of you for being on this. What is an ecosystem? What is ecosystem building? How do we best support entrepreneurs? Putting the person at the center, I think, is true in, you know, any type of community work. And so that diagram that Hope referenced has been a great way to center the conversation. This reminds me that I think we could also do a bit more on that more complex side of what's going on under the surface in a biological ecosystem, literally the interconnectedness of the roots under the earth beyond what we can see. And when I was at the Rural RISE conference, I think it was September 2019, I was that person at the conference who was like, what are you talking about? And the CEO of CoStarters gave the keynote, and he shared some beautiful visuals of trees and came at it from that aspect. And so that was helpful as well. So as we continue to build the Grapevine Network and the RISE Collaborative, perhaps we need to do some ecosystem building 101 and kind of share this out with more folks too. Thank you for taking us down memory lane. So RISE Collaborative is a network of entrepreneurs across Southern Virginia. What is the Grapevine in relation to RISE Collaborative? What is the Grapevine altogether? How can you get involved?
So the Grapevine started as a work group of RISE Collaborative. And it was just called the Minority Engagement Work Group. And, you know, we met monthly by Zoom for a year or two. And, you know, we just sort of tried to think about and talk about how to better serve underserved entrepreneurs. And I think to some extent, we're still trying to figure out, what does that mean? What does that look like? Because Southern Virginia and our footprint is so large, it means different things in different communities. So I think that will be an ongoing discussion. But I'll let Beth Ann, she coined the grapevine. And so maybe you can tell us how we got that really cool name.
Yeah. So when I started to participate in it, you're right, Lauren, it's about a year ago, I just have an aversion to the word minority. So I wanted it to be something else. And I watched the Henry Louis Gates series on the grapevine of how Black people have networked in different, again, different sectors, right? Around faith and around poverty and around voting and around all these things. And so it was titled The Grapevine. And it was really about how we have naturally networked in order to survive and thrive in the America, right? So I was hot off of that. And I was like, I think this should be our name, The Grapevine, because it is a network of Black and Brown, minority, underserved entrepreneurs, or people who have big ideas and want to start something, that come together for whatever, wherever they are on the continuum, to get what they need. It's a safe space for people who have been systemically disenfranchised to come and ask questions about, you know, how can they succeed in this thing called business? I have a great idea. And, you know, they're not places where I can go where people look like me to ask questions. And I want to come right here. And that's what we want to create, a warm and fuzzy place where people can get solid, quality, personal, customized, individual information for their business idea.
So you've mentioned a couple of times pulling from other sectors or industries or places where networks have been connected. And the obvious one that comes to mind to me is that of like the history of community organizing. Do you think there's any interplay between the two? I know in the history of broad-based community organizing, faith has played a big role and churches have been these hubs. Is there any connections or lessons we can learn with the work that we're doing?
For me, so my undergraduate degree is in urban studies and city planning. And so my senior project was to go through a really impoverished part of town and sort of asset map, right? And organize the individuals that lived in that part of the town to get the things they needed, like a grocery store or, you know, their streets paved or whatever those things are. So I can always tie the work that I'm doing back to community organizing, because it starts with the person, the community, the individual. You know, Hope and I trade this phrase, the person who's closest to the problem or closest to the challenge, they typically have the answer, right? So going back to the grassroots, to the community that's affected, and sort of lifting those voices is always an important, if not the most important part of this whole thing. Because if we wanted to build a network for Black and Brown entrepreneurs, but we didn't have any Black and Brown entrepreneurs talking about what they needed, what would be the point? And it's sort of how we have done it in the past, figuring out what people need rather than asking them for what they need. So I could go on a tangent about that.
I think we can learn a lot from your experience in those spheres. And so please continue if you want, both of you.
Do we want to talk about the summit now? Because that's a perfect tie-in. That's how we got to the summit that we held November 2022, we were on a grapevine call and talking about what do entrepreneurs need. And at some point, I think it was Beth Ann that said, let's just bring people together and ask them. And it was such a brilliant, uncomplicated solution. It was literally like a light bulb came on and I said, yes, everyone in the call said, absolutely. Like, duh, why haven't we done that? So we really galvanized behind pulling together a regional cross-section of entrepreneurs to ask, what are you seeing? What do you need? What resources are you aware of? What's lacking? Just to ask all the things. And then to also gut check some focus group data that we had from 2021. And so we held that event in Halifax County in November, and it was well attended. We had representatives from, I think, all but one county, and it was great.
It was sort of the confirmation that what we thought was we needed to do was exactly the thing we needed to do, is to ask people all the things rather than sitting on our monthly call and saying, we think we need to do this and we think we need to do that. And it confirmed that some of the things we thought about, but, you know,
So I've heard you both share about this in other Zoom calls that we didn't record, right? So I hope you've spoken about kind of the aha moment for you in terms of like the questions that were asked, revealing kind of that maybe the resources are there, but the challenge comes back to awareness and communication. And I think to trust and to those systemic challenges, like it's, there's a surface level why, and then there's lots of deeper reasons why. Could you guys share kind of what the questions you heard were, what that helped you to understand?
I remember one of the resources that people asked for had to do with like basically how to start a business, where do you get started? And SBDC has this fantastic resource, this handbook that walks you through the process and everything you need. And it's on the website, and people didn't know. And I think that was the moment that I said, you know, we don't need more resources. We just need to connect people to the resources that are there. Now, in a lot of ways, that's a much harder task because, as Beth Ann can attest to, it's not easy to reach out and make the connections because, you know, you can't just send an email and reach 100 people and call it a day. It's calling, it's text messaging, it's following up, it's all the things that we've sort of gotten away from in this high-tech age that we now see we need to get back to. But yeah, I'm really on this kick of having what we need is navigators and connectors to like walk over to an entrepreneur and say, hey, what you need is right here. Let's walk over and I'll put it in your hand.
Do you think that this conversion to high-tech solutions for everything has made us lazy in the way that we get the word out about different resources?
I don't want to use the word lazy, but yeah, it has made us more reliant on the keyboard solution, right? Can I just email this out to my contacts list and put it on social media and I'm done, check the box and move on to the next thing, because we're all really busy. But we are finding that when you do that, you are not reaching not anywhere near the percentage of people who need to hear the message. You know, entrepreneurs are busy doing the work, so they aren't always in front of the computer or at their phone all day long. And we're just missing our target audience.
I think another part of it goes back to what you said, Lauren, about being nimble and being able to provide services in the evening and on the weekend, because we heard that too, is that entrepreneurs are busy running their businesses during the day. And so they need things in the evening or on, you know, when they're not working. So if we are a support network for entrepreneurs, we need to be providing that support at a time when they can take advantage of it, right? And not just blasting it out to our contacts, not just checking the box that we made it available. And, you know, I've heard far too many times is that, well, it's their responsibility to find it. It's out there. They need to find it. No, if we are here to support them, we need to make the connection.
Bethany, I think we also want to establish you as a DEI expert, as a consultant who has clients, who has had client, you know, a history of DEI consulting expertise, professional expertise, well in advance of joining Rise Collaborative in that capacity. So I do think we want to, and also be sure to define it.
Yeah, with all that, let me go back and give you like a little historical perspective. So I am biracial, and I am the product of a minority biracial couple. So my dad was white, and my mom was Black, and they're both passed on. That's why I said was. And my father left his community and moved into my mother's community to live and raise his two biracial children, which is big because, you know, with the white man comes the economics, right? So he left his community and brought his economic, his wealth, his clout, his whatever to this Black neighborhood. And so I was always othered, you know, like, what are you? I don't understand. And I had for a long time, I had to pick, you know, was I white or was I Black? And I never did. I was a rebel. I've been a rebel all my life. And now I'm just more of myself. But I always would say things like, I'm human, you know, I'm a human being. What are you talking about? But I always looked for other people like me. I had the great benefit of going to private school where I didn't see a lot of people look like me. And so I always looked for, really strove to find people who, you know, look like me, which I think and people who were othered and left out, disenfranchised, marginalized, all of those things, which I think took me to law school, where I practiced for 11 years in special education advocacy. So really advocating for children who were ostracized by the school system and not getting the education that was guaranteed for everybody. So I always wanted to make sure that there was diversity in the room. I mean, research is late to the table, talking about how diversity just, you know, increases the conversation, increases innovation, increases productivity. Like, we knew that a long time ago, nobody said it. So I'm always looking to make sure that there's a diverse group of people in the room, people who have challenging opinions. Most of the time, that's me. People who have challenging opinions really make you think about if you are really convicted to the thing you think you are. You know, do you believe, can it be reshaped? Can it be refined? Can we collaborate? It makes you, really challenges you to think about what you think you believe in. And so I think that I've been a DEI advocate all my life. And then I went to law school and, you know, I learned about disability rights. And so the whole accessibility piece comes in, and I look at spaces always to what does the diversity of the group look like? And if I was disabled, physically disabled, if I was learning disabled, how could I truly and fully engage my whole self in this situation? And so I'm always advocating for those things that I think we take for granted, those of us who are not disabled, those of us who have the benefit of privilege, economic privilege, racial privilege, we don't think about those things. So I'm always challenging people to think about that. And I'm so happy that in the spaces that I am invited, I am allowed to bring my whole self and to really be challenging and kind of give people a mental shake to think about if this is really where you is this the hill you want to die on, or do you really want to rethink this and include people to expand the conversation?
Could you expand a little bit on the role of creating tension as what I would say is kind of a driving force of innovation or evolution in an ecosystem? And it's not, in a lot of spaces, there's no tension, right? And I think it's a very important space to be able to sit in and act in. And so could you elaborate on that?
Think about children as they are, you know, learning about the world, is that it is a very important stage in their life when they are at the whys, right? But why? But why? But why? But why? And sometimes you get to a point where it's like, I don't know why, it just always is. But I think that there needs to be some interrogation of the system, you know, that it could be perfectly fine. But I think every once in a while, to steal Hope's term, we need to gut check it. You know, is it still appropriate? Is it still right? You know, is it still working? Is it still hitting the people that we're targeting? Is it still? And maybe it is. And we move on. I think we get into problems when we just assume that what has always is, what has worked always will. You know, although, and sometimes, and just for kicks and giggles, I will just ask the question that I know, you know, I know that it's still working, but I do it anyway, because I think that we always need to be interrogating the system. So tension is a critical piece of innovation.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You can sort of tell when that's missing because the product that comes out is inferior in some way, or there's something missing, or there's a viewpoint that hasn't been included. And so that tension is so important. You know, so often when we hear the term diversity, we automatically think racial or gender, but diversity of thought is critical. And to incorporate those different perspectives, it's essential to having a better product.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree.
Hope, I want to hear what you were like as a kid.
Oh, gosh.
I bet she rebel. Was not.
I'm not a rebel. But I think that in some ways I was always a communicator, because I had this belief that I could talk my way out of anything. And I remember this instance in kindergarten. I'd done something and this little boy had done something. And we both got sat outside the classroom to think about it and to apologize. And I spent my whole time trying to get him to confess to whatever it was. I just knew I had him. And then the teacher came back and he did not confess. And so then I said, yeah, fine. It was both of us. So I think that You know, in some ways, I think that also shows what I was like as a kid, just sort of looking for the path forward and, you know, trying to find a way that we can make it work, whatever it is. So, you know, and I'm the youngest of four. So by a sort of a long stretch between my oldest sister and I, it was interesting sort of growing up. But yeah, I was more of the peacemaker. Let's come together. Let's talk about it.
That's why we're a great team, Hope.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and, you know, when we first began our work group calls, you know, it just was a function of we began having these monthly Zoom meetings, right? It was early 2021 for this work group in particular. And so now with last fall, with the two of you leading the summit event and the follow-on report that was prepared and is on our website, and then the commitment to the ongoing monthly convening. And I think last month we had 18 folks on the call. And so that was a mix of entrepreneurs, folks that we consider to be ecosystem builders who might not have heard those terms, but people who are really leading in their communities. So from your viewpoint, you know, where we are now and looking forward to the spring and fall, what's your vision for growth of the grapevine and how can people be part of that?
We have come a long way. And speaking of that call, you know, when those calls, the regional calls with all the ecosystem builders started some years ago, I remember being either one of or maybe one of two people of color on the calls. And that stuck out to me. And in the call we had last week, there were several of us. And I thought, man, look at that. We have come a long way. That's progress. Bringing more people into the fold. So more of that for sure as we move forward. And also I see the grapevine as being the linchpin to providing resources and information to underserved entrepreneurs. I always want people to engage with the grapevine and then when they leave to feel like they are better for having engaged with us. Giving them something they needed, or whether it's support, answer a question, provide a resource, what have you. But I always want people to feel like time with the grapevine is time well spent. So
for sure. I think for me, I want the grapevine to be, I want us to be a trusted source, right? So I want us to be the place where people come and they can be assured that they're going to not get smoked, that they're going to get a resource or that someone that they connect with is going to commit to getting them the resource or getting them the expertise that they need. I also would like to see the grapevine connect to one of the things we heard at the summit was connecting to community organizations. Those are who are longstanding, faith-based, social justice, community organizations. So connecting with those so that we can get our information out to a larger network of people, and we have access to those networks to participate with us as well. So sort of growing our group. But I think that if we look at our Facebook group, it's growing at leaps and bounds. So we are really growing.
So there's a Facebook group, a LinkedIn group, the monthly Zoom call, and more opportunities hopefully coming in the future.
So I have a tough one. If this emerging network is successful, what does it look like in 5 years? Can you paint me a picture of what this looks like if it continues to grow and shape the ecosystem and shape opportunities for entrepreneurs? What does this look like?
For sure, I think that there are a cadre of navigators still that are well-versed and aware of the even hidden gems in the community that our technical support network is thriving. So people have access to technical support providers and that, you know, we're still growing new businesses, you know, like our current businesses are sort of the seniors in the class and are providing mentorship to the newbies in the group. One of the other things that came out of the summit was a really intentional desire to have young people involved. So as those young people come into adulthood, that those businesses that are in the network now can support them, can promote them, can mentor them, So that's what it looks like for me.
I mean, that's the perfect answer. I'll just leave it with that.
I wanted to go back to a word you used in the prior question about being a trusted resource, and just maybe this is a way to tie together a lot of things we've talked about. And that is, what is the role of trust? And so, you know, we've talked about the importance of building diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility into RISE Collaborative as it is created. And in order to do that authentically, you have to actually involve people who are in the communities that we're trying to reach. And in order to do that, we have to build trust, which takes time, right?
I think that it's really hard to do if we're not in the community. Those community navigators are going to be so important because they will be in the community, hopefully from the community. But I think that sort of takes me back to Jacob's question earlier about community organizing and the faith-based community, is that we trust the information we get in church because, you know, we trust Jesus, we trust, you know, our pastor or bishop or reverend or rabbi, we trust that person. And so the information that is provided through that institution is trusted information. But they're in the community. They know us both personally and professionally. So that connection on an individual basis, going, like Hope said, going to visit the business, just sitting down, having coffee. What's your challenge today? What are you working on? You know, how can I help you? That is how we build that trust. And it's difficult with everything wanting to be virtual, us being spread throughout the region. But I think we're going to have to figure out how we do that. I think that we all are considered trust because, you know, people are credentialing us like, oh yeah, I know Lauren. I went to high school with her. I was here, whatever. Yeah, I know Hope. She's been at, you know, the institute. I mean, at the higher ed center for this time. I went to high school, or I know her from church or what. So we're trusted by our other titles or other connections. But I think it's important that we be in and around the community in some regular basis and just kind of chilling and, you know, see what's going on and how we can help.
Yeah. And, you know, I think as Bethan says, you build trust by doing what you say you're going to do. So if we say we're going to provide a resource, then we do that. And if we don't have an answer and we say we'll find it, then we bring it back. So I think trust is built slowly, but that is a key way in just being true to your word. And then also ensuring that our actions match our rhetoric. And so if we say that diversity is important to us, then we need to ensure our team looks like that, that our marketing reflects that, like everything that we say and do need to be in alignment.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned this, sitting down for coffee with someone. Could you walk me through what a good and productive 30, 40 minute meeting looks like? What are tips that folks could take away from listening to this podcast?
You should have coffee with me one day, Jacob. I'll have you laughing the whole time. You know, sitting down with an entrepreneur, I would, you know, just want to sort of take the temperature. Like, what's going on with you? What's keeping you up at night? And figuring out how I can support. Sometimes you just need to hear the words outside of your head, right? Is, you know, be that support either as a thought partner or connect them to a resource that can lift that burden, or offering my time and talent to support them as they navigate through it. Like, let's learn it together. Like, I don't know that either. Let's figure out how to do it. But you need somebody who's going to be like shoulder to shoulder with you, you know, in the grind. And they're not going to leave you. I think that sometimes you find like, oh yeah, if you call the SBDC, just call the number. Somebody will pick up and tell you, but then that means you got to tell your whole story again. But if I have a connection with you, Jacob, I can call and say, hey, I'm sitting here talking to somebody and this is a challenge. Do you know of a resource that they can use or whatever? Helping find a path forward for that. So it really is about just listening, understanding what the tender points are, and trying to provide some level of rest and ability to recover to get back in the fight tomorrow, because we know it's not easy work.
Hope, what are your thoughts on that question?
Again, I go back to that the entrepreneur needs to leave feeling better than when they arrived. They need to feel like this was time well spent, because the greatest thing an entrepreneur can give you is their time. It's in such short supply, so that if they are investing any amount of time it's like gold, and we need to treat it like that and be respectful and hold it as a sacred thing.
That's so true, because even that 30 minutes that they're taking to have coffee with us could be, you know, used in another way, you know, even if it is just for like a nap. 30 minutes is important.
All right. I think it is time for rapid fire questions.
Hey.
All right. So Jacob and I will alternate. And then if you will just each answer, it doesn't have to be as short as one word, but all right. Question one, what is a daily habit or a routine that you would recommend to others?
Caffeinate.
True. I agree. And also just try to find time to do one small thing that brings you a spark of joy, happiness, you know, even if it's like playing your favorite app game, you know, just something.
All right. You don't get off the hook. So how do you caffeinate, and what kind of games or things do you do, Hope, that contribute to that?
Coffee. Lavazza. I should do a Lavazza commercial. I love Lavazza coffee. Medium roast with 5. Do not judge me. Do not judge me. 5 tablespoons of International Delight French vanilla cream.
Awesome. All right, Hope. What are your specifics?
So I'm not a coffee snob. I just use the instant, like the Folgers, and it's very weak. It has lots of milk and sugar. So yeah, but it gets the job done. And to spark joy, like I love these games, the time management games, like the Diner Dash and those type games. So yeah, that's what I'm playing.
Awesome. Okay. The second question is, what is a book or resource that you currently recommend for entrepreneurs?
Well, it's probably self-serving, but The Grapevine. I mean, you should join certainly our Facebook group, and there it's a treasure trove of resources, of funding opportunities. I mean, anything you need is there. So The Grapevine Network.
And if it's not there, pose the question and somebody will answer.
Yeah. I would also recommend Simon Sinek's Start With Why. That's classic. And if you don't have time to read the book, which you probably don't, find his TED Talk. It's equally good. But once you start with once you understand your intention and your why, everything else flows so much easier.
What is your favorite food or restaurant in Southern Virginia?
It's like the hardest question we ask.
Not for me, but it's just so embarrassing. So I have a very immature palate. Okay. I'm like a meat and potatoes kind of girl. Meat, potatoes, and broccoli.
That, and you stopped by Ma's Cakes for your to-go cake.
That's right. Edit that Long John Silver part. Ma's Cakes, because I can have cake and coffee.
I love our here in South Boston, our local cafes. So the Busy Bean is excellent. That's sort of my go-to lunch place, but also Southern Plenty on the opposite end of the street is also very good. Very different, but just as good.
All right. Next rapid fire. What is something that you do for fun outside of work?
Something else that I'm probably embarrassed of. Shop. I shop too much and travel.
Yeah, I love to travel. I don't have nearly enough time to do it, but that, and I have 3 daughters, so spending time with them.
All right. Who is a thought leader or someone in the entrepreneurship industry that you would recommend others check out or follow?
One of the podcast guests you had a few weeks ago, Annika Horn, and the Rise Network, they are doing some great work. So give them a follow.
The Rise Network, their co-founders, Sharon Fitz and Chandra, and they're at riseorg2018.com. That's their website.
You got that business card at the Startup Champions Network, didn't you?
I did. I have so many memories from our first meeting. So I am a proponent of having your own personal board of directors, right? So having people who know you, who can call you on your crap, but they are experts in their own field, right? Like I have somebody who knows about employee benefits and insurance. I don't need to know all that crap. I know somebody who does, right? So I think that having people who know you, know your environment, know your region, know your, you know, the things. Why would we follow somebody in New York or in California or Phoenix or whatever? I think you need to find your tribe in the community, and then you all lift as you grow. That's what I think.
Rising tide lifts all ships.
Yep.
And each of you tell us a little bit more about where people can find you, follow you, learn more about the organizations that you're a part of.
I'm on LinkedIn. Just search for me there, Hope Harris Scales, or it's linkedin.com/HopeHarris01. But I'm there, would love to connect. And while you're on LinkedIn, or join the Grapevine group.
I am on LinkedIn, Bethann West James, or you can reach me through my website at gemstonepsc.com.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rise Collaborative podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on your podcast app or share this episode on social media.
You can connect with us on LinkedIn. We'd love you to join the dialogue, get connected to the network, and learn more about SoverEyes and the people and the places that we work. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next episode.